Members, I'm going to bring the committee to order. I'm going to move the agenda around a little bit and let Mr. Representative Mullery come to the table real quick. And his is a bill, House File 744, which I'll move, that deals with employment training projects. And pretty much the policy issue is whether we should set up a training grant program for this group of people. So Representative Mullery, I'll move House File 744 and be recommended to pass and return to the Higher Education and Workforce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And please identify yourself for the tape and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mullery. Mr. Chair and members, this is a bill that's actually almost in the identical language, has passed the House before at various times. It was always killed in conference committee by the Senate. 1 year since we didn't get it through here, we worked with the federal Department of Education, and that year, out of 1,900 applications, this was ranked number one in the country by the Department of Education in Washington. And then it's been quite successful, but that money ran out. The purpose of this is to get specialized occupational English training for Southeast Asians. They come here, they can't speak English well, and under our present system, usually they have to take regular English, and that takes years for them. And meanwhile, they can't become full citizens of society, working, paying taxes and things like that, supporting their families. So this is Hennepin Technical College has some specialization in this that's been extremely effective at getting them to work. And so basically that's what the whole program is. There's several people here, but I think, Mr. Chair, I think we can just have a couple of people quickly explain it.
That would be just fine. As I understand it, you have a good number of witnesses, but some of them weren't able to make it because of some problems in 94. But why don't we just move this one through, and you can bring them back for Mr. Rukavina's committee.
Okay.
Thank you. And I don't know which one's going to testify first, but my old friend, Mr. Sanders, or whomever.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is David Evander. I'm a state employee with the Council on Asian Pacific Minnesotans. And yes, there was a big smash up on I-94 East. I'm delighted that some of our testifiers from the north side did make it here. So I have some little testimony that puts our position. I just want to add to what Representative Mullery has said. The economic downturn is really hitting the Southeast Asians hard too. This project, which is focused in Hennepin County, what we're seeing also applies all over the metro area, all over the state. And as you know, in your districts now, you'll be seeing Lao in Warroad, Worthington, Mountain Lake, St. Cloud, and the economic downtown is really hitting these hard. So we have a wonderful pilot program here. The Lao, some of them have been looking for jobs for 6 months when the manufacturing lines closed down, and some of the food industry, the hotel industry, they've really been hit hard. They're not really using the mainstream workforce centers. About 7 years, I went to one of the workforce centers with the Lao leaders, and when they walked in, they said, our clients really can't use these services well unless they are bilingual staff here to help. And today, I'm still hearing they just direct them to a computer. The waiting list in these workforce centers are really high too. So without more to say, I'd like to introduce two of the agencies that are part of this collaborative. And I would like to start with Mr. Joe Vang from CAPI, Kathy is often confused with our council. Kathy, the Center for Asian Pacific Islanders, is a wonderful non-profit. The main center is on Lake Street, but they have a satellite on Penn Avenue in North Minneapolis. So, Mr. Joseph.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of this committee. My name is Joe Wang from CAPI, C-A-P-I is the abbreviation, formerly known as Center for Asian and Pacific Islanders. And I am here to express my opinion in support of the House File 744. As the job counselor, I've been with CAPI for over 8 years. I spent the last 4 years working on the employment, you know, planning section. And I've been with the, my title is Employment Service, Employment Counselor for the Family Investment Program. Some of the barriers that I see, if the House File 744 passed, that will help these people tremendously, is that these people are from a country where they had no access to education or more vocational training, or they do not have any transferable skill, any known work experience. They came to this country, and the Southeast Asian refugee and immigrants, they changed their life totally. They had to start from the beginning. They do not able to find a job because of lack of English, because of lack of all of those transferable skills and computer skills. As many of us may know, nowadays employers tend to put an application on the online, and these people are not able to complete those. They are not able to have the job interview. Even though they do, they are not able to follow direction or instruction in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And these late many of these people, even though they had a job, offer a job at the first place, tend to be let go, you know, right after, you know, a few weeks or so. So, in order to help these people, we need this Southeast Asian refugee or an immigrant. We need to train them, and I guess the I strongly believe that if the House File 744 passed, it will help these people, and people will get a job, and they will be able to support the family, the children, and they will be able to be productive member of the society. So that's what I think, and I'm here to support the bill.
Thank you.
One more testifier, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Mr. Sanders.
I'd like to introduce from HAMA, Hmong American Mutual Assistance Association, the employment specialist, Mr. Howley Hua Moore. You will notice he is from the same clan as Senator Mee Moore. So, Mr. Moore.
The committee and identify yourself for the tape. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, with the member. I'm from HAMA, North Minneapolis. My title is the appointment specialist. I worked for this agency about 10 years in the past. But so far I see around last year to this year, very difficult to place people. And that's people, number one, they are lost the education and also training skill. So, possible, I would like to have to pass the HF 744 to train us people. That agency not only is specific long, we serve all people who come from other countries. For example, Ethiopia or Oromo, including Hmong and Laotian who need help. So this agency be open very wide for anybody need help. So now I see very difficult for the situation like this. Also now a company, every company, they require experience and also and education and pass the test before they decide to consider instant price. So I think that's difficult for us people in the future. These people, they are skilled, but this is skill from us, our homeland, and Cantonese state. They are totally different language and skill. That's why we really need to have some programs and training, for example, medical assembly or electronic or something like that, right away it's possible. So keep like this for the future. I thought more people or previous day have get more trouble regarding have no job, no deal, no homeland or whatever. That's why, please, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. I'm going to take the prerogative of the chair and relate a story. About 3 or 4 years ago, I ran to, I don't know if it was this particular program, but very similar, in a relatively large manufacturing plant in southwestern Hennepin County, where they actually had the classroom. And they did 3 different languages, and it was functional English, manufacturing English, which was kind of interesting. And the company president was kind of wondering why the hell a pipe fitter was wandering around in his classroom. So I kind of said, I fund this damn thing, let me get out of my way. I was a little nicer about it than that. But I did actually see, it was rather interesting to see about 90% of them in this manufacturer were immigrants and were taking great advantage of the functional English and manufacturing English. So I thought it was a pretty good idea. There's a few questions here. I'm going to... Representative Norton, did you have a question here? I'm not sure which one went first. Both were writing here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do know that SciTow and I signed on to the LifeTrack job skills bill, and I guess I'm wondering if Representative Mullery has talked to SciTow, Representative Tao, about this particular bill, because I think it directly targets the immigrant and refugee population, and has been extremely successful in Rochester. We've had just a tiny grant for the last 2 years of $50,000, and I know that Representative Tao's bill is much larger than that, and may be specifically targeted for St. Paul, but it doesn't look like you had a particular program identified, just a need, and I'm wondering if that particular program might help work with this group. Well,
Mr. Chair and Representative Norton, I was just informed that that's just handled St. Paul, and the problem is that there are quite a few programs for Ramsey County because people think of that as where the Hmong initially settled. However, there's actually more Southeast Asians in Hennepin County than there are in Ramsey County, and they don't have programs, and there is this one program that we have worked through in the past that the federal grant came in for, and they have, as Representative Mr. Chair said, been very successful at this occupational English. They have some specialized people who are extremely good at training and for this specific thing.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I can just follow up.
Go ahead.
So you are looking at a whole separate program, is that, because it doesn't, I'm not seeing that in the language here, but you have a different program. And the reason I ask is, I piggybacked on, after we heard the presentation, Representative Tao's bill last year, and I just know it's been successful for me. So my suggestion to you was going to be, if, because we know there's limited resources and maybe you have a separate program that you want to do and it won't work, but I was just going to suggest you add your area, the Hennepin County area, onto Representative Tao's bill and jack the price up a little bit.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's a quote for this session. Let's jack the price up. By the way, I was going to correct the chair. I think it's the taxpayers that actually pay for this.
Oh, there you go.
But in any case, Mr. Chair and Representative Mullery, one question that came to my mind when I saw this bill is, you know, we've heard testimony that immigrants are going to be an important backbone to our workforce going forward, and I think that's very important. But these are immigrants from a variety of communities and ethnicities, and I realize there's a concentration in Minneapolis of Southeast Asians. We have a number of them in the St. Cloud area as well, I think, as was pointed out in testimony. But perhaps you can answer for me why this group and not other groups is kind of the essence of that question. And then I'm wondering, too, the funding for this, is this coming out of the Higher Education Workforce Development Target, or is it going to come out of Health and Human Services? Where does the money come from? Those two questions.
Mr. Chair and Representative Gottwald, I believe the funding would probably come from the workforce. I don't think it's coming there. Mr. Chair and Representative Gottwald, we, in the past, when it got to the funding part of this, sometimes it was put in the workforce, and sometimes it was used with TANF through the Health or Human Services. And we don't really care where the money comes from in the end. And there's also, my understanding is there are dollars coming in the national, in the federal stimulus money for job training like this. So just like Representative Tao and his bill probably doesn't care which of the three funds it comes from, we don't care what is, where it ends up, and that we just want to make sure that it happens. And Representative Gottwald, I think this is an effective program. We really have a huge unemployment in that community in Hennepin County. I would love to see it around the state. I know that there's a lot of immigrants around the state that could use the program.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to point out, there are obviously other groups that are hurting as well from the economic downturn. Not to disparage the West before us or the Southeast Asian community, but to say that there are Somalis living in my community who have expressed concerns about the downturn in the economy. So as we're deciding where we're spending funds to help with training and so forth, I know there's a lot of other immigrant groups who are hurting as well.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Gottwald, I completely agree with that. One of the things I talked to the Chancellor, Jim McCormick, about was if we get this established as a pilot program, for instance, through the Hennepin ones, especially Hennepin Tech has done some of this very successfully. I've talked to Jim McCormick about spreading it through the whole Minsky system.
Well, you see, I think you found your co-author. Representative Beard?
Mr. Chair, too, I was just sitting and listening and thinking about the request, and I heard the comment that the chair was asserting that it was his responsibility to fund this, and I was going to remind the applicants, before you send thank you notes to the chair, you may want to send a thank you note to the taxpayers.
I apologize. It is the taxpayers. It is the taxpayers' dollar.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
But we are a policy committee, so let's get off the funding.
You want to
Representative, it's too easy of how much I could help.
I'm right over the plate.
Right? I understand. I deserved it. Representative, were you done, Representative Beard?
I'm done.
Okay. Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mullery, one of the recurring themes we've had in this committee this session has been the profusion of workforce and job training programs that we have across the state for lots of different things. And policy challenge is that there doesn't seem to be any kind of rational design of the system. And I guess the question that I have is, I wonder if you could expand on the workforce centers and how well they're dealing with language, cultural, and computer barriers to people. Because in the perfect world, you would actually have an agency who was good and had specialists on board who could help in certain communities, rather than having a one-off program and county-by-county approach where, you know, it might be good in one area, but it doesn't really serve people in War Road all that well. So I wonder if any of you or the testifiers could talk about how well the workforce centers do in this area.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler. That's a real unfortunate situation. In fact, I just had the person from Deed that I think is in charge of all of that in my office for an hour and three quarters about 2 weeks ago. And there's a huge problem with the immigrant community, because not only do they have the trouble with the English, they culturally don't really understand these workforce centers. And I was shocked when I found out that you walk into a workforce center and before you can even, you now have to sign up just to meet with somebody 2 months later. And obviously this is not a good situation for somebody who's out of a job and looking for training or a job. The problem has always been with, and I know about the Southeast Asians, especially all Asians, and it's probably true of other groups, immigrant groups, is that the workforce centers are not working well for them. Their people just go into them. The workforce centers don't really have anybody that can talk with them or even get into their cultural issues and things like that. So what happens is the counties are sending them to the agency, the actual, like, you know, Lao Assistance Center or HAMA or these, and government isn't paying them to do this. And so they've got this huge burden that's been thrust on them. And so they're having an awful problem that way about even counseling, because they're inundated with the people that aren't being served by our workforce centers. And I completely agree with you that we should have our workforce centers functioning that way, but I don't know in the short run how we change those around. I just don't know how that would happen.
Mr. Chair, if I could just follow up.
Follow up, Representative Winkler?
We've discussed now something in Ramsey County, something in Hennepin County, and the comment made in the testimony was Worthington and War Road.
Don't forget St. Cloud.
Well, I don't think it, I'm just focusing on W's, Mr. Chair.
Wolfram can't pronounce it with a W.
Wink Cloud. And so what I guess the question is, if we're concerned about this, which it sounds like we should be, how does this bill address the broader issue on a statewide basis? I mean, if we're going to be appropriating money, and this is a statewide issue, it seems to me we ought to look at it on a statewide basis.
Mr. Chair and Representative Winkler, as I said, this is a kind of pilot program. I've talked to the Chancellor, Jim McCormick, about repeating this statewide eventually when it gets worked out. And so I think that's something we certainly need.
Members, we're going to vote on this by 5 after, so we got 3 other members that have questions. Representative Haas?
Thank you. I just have a few comments, actually. This magnifies in a time when people are not working, when the companies need people to work. The cooperation and the instructions are actually coming from the company. Some of them are savvy enough to actually find workforce grants, because there is workforce grants being used by companies. You can find that with the Helgeson companies and the with the chicken plants and so forth, and they do a great job, and they offer it in many languages. I would also express that this is one, but in St. Cloud and in some of your areas, very multiple. I think we're up to 32 different languages now spoken in our school district in the St. Cloud area. So, and also this is happening with volunteers and very low dollars and some ad hoc. So this is a very important issue, but it's more than one area, and it's more than one language. And I would agree with the Representative Mulry that it is probably more culture problems, as much significant culture problems as language problems. I've coached soccer teams where 5 different languages were spoken. We got that figured out in about a week. But the cultural things, we were still battling at the end of the season. So,
Representative Steppen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Mulry, I've just been sort of following the questions here, and I think a lot of members have made good points about why these counties versus the state and whatnot. And I appreciate your answer about it being a pilot program, which kind of brought this question forward for me. Since it's a pilot program, and you look at perhaps extending it to other areas, how will you know if it's successful? Do you have a goal in mind? Is there something tangible to sort of understand what we're trying to accomplish?
Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and Representative Pepin, believe me, I have gotten into trying to estimate the value of these job training programs. Ask Representative Gunther. I actually came up with a bill which might have been the first ever here, which was both the Jobs Now Coalition and the Chamber of Commerce got together and supported it my first term here, and unfortunately the governor vetoed it, and then we came back the next term in the minority, and in order to get it through, I gave it to Representative Gunther, and he became known nationally as the first one, even though he admits everywhere in public that it was a Mullery bill and idea. In fact, it's known nationally as the Gunther Report. I'm trying to estimate how effective job programs are. And basically, Bob and I gave up on trying to push it any further. I wanted to go further, but in those years, nobody wanted to go further. I think that this particular program, there's no defined goals, but I think we can tell whether it's effective at getting people into work and actually staying there, which is my goal. And another thing about this is that some of the things, for instance, Hennepin Technical has worked closely with the, which is right near your district, has worked closely with the printing industry and certain other industries. And what I really like about that is that they can train them to get into the first level jobs and speak that English, and then they can gradually pick it up and move into higher jobs along the route. And so that'll be part of trying to figure out whether or not it's effective in the long run.
And members, I'll take this particular moment to say that there is a legislative auditor's report request for what we should ask them to look at, and if you haven't gotten an email, you probably will yet today, asking the legislative auditor to look at workforce issues, what we invest, what we get out, and what are the how do we measure. And Representative Pepin, I know you were nice enough to wait, but I'm going to let Representative Anderson, if he's got a question, and then we're going to vote at 5 after.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Chair. Madam Chair. Sorry about that. Mr. Chair. Representative Mullery, we're talking about results. It shows in here in the bill that you want this money available till June 30th of 2011, and you're asking the Commissioner of Human Services to be the fiscal agent with as one of the five partners. But I don't see anybody reporting back to the legislature the final results or what we got back for the investment we made in training these people, and where we see the final thing coming back to us to see if this pilot program, which you're calling it a pilot program, is actually something that we can spin off and go further with. Are you asking the Commissioner of Human Services to be the reporting agency? Are you asking one of these five partners to be one of the reporting agency as to the results of this pilot program? Who are you asking to report back to the legislature on the results?
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, it's not specific in here. I can work with you before these Representative Rukavina's committee on specific language on that. I was unaware of what the chair mentioned about the possible study by legislative auditor, but I'm very encouraged. What we found is that none of these job training, when Representative Gunther and I were doing it about 9-10 years ago, nobody was really keeping records much beyond the 6 weeks, or most was 6 months basically, and we tried to get them to both of us tried to get some requirements that for state, when state money went into these job training programs, that we have results kept longer by them and that they track it down, and we basically couldn't get anywhere on getting support to do that.
Mr. Chair and Representative Mullery, I think, you know, you're asking for a dollar amount. I think you might want to in also thinking about the dollar amount for the program itself, think about the amount of money that would be needed for the report to come back to us to include that. So we can work on that as we go forward. But I definitely think we need to have, as you've already mentioned here in the verbiage, five partners in collaborative, and the fiscal agent being the Commissioner of Human Services. I think we've got to put the onus on some department that's going to be handling the funds and getting some results back, reporting back to us. Either in 2012, the beginning of the session 2012, or sometime the end of 2011.
Members, I noticed that looks to be a good number of your witnesses have actually shown up. I know that the community of Asian Pacific and Pacific Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are very active, and they do show up when they're asked, so it's really nice to see them here. I wish we had more time to allow you all to testify. Not the first time you've been here, so I won't apologize too deeply. Thank you for coming, though. Members, I'd like to vote on this. So, again, I renew my motion that House File 744 be recommended to pass and return to the Higher Ed and Workforce Policy and Finance Division. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
You're on your way. Thank you for coming. We now have a wonderful author of a bill is up now. With House File 1081, and I think I'm going to turn the gavel over to my vice chair.
Representative Briner, while we're waiting for Chair Mahoney to get up in position, would you mind moving the minutes, please?
Mr. Chair, I move the minutes of March 4th.
Representative Briner moves the minutes of March 4th, 2009. Any changes or corrections? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Trying to assert my will over the committee here, so. Now that I've got control, Representative Mahoney, I might not give it back, but just kidding.
You know, there's a lot of people that want that gavel.
That's so true. Representative Mahoney.
Members, I'd like to move House File 1081 to Higher Ed and Workforce Policy. Recommended to pass and move to Higher Ed and Workforce Policy.
Representative Mahoney moves House File 1081 be recommended to pass and return to Higher Ed, Education, Workforce Development, Policy, and Finance Division. To your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Today with me I have Bob Till and a number of other witnesses, and I'll say a little to the bill and then turn it over. But watching Mr. Till in the hallway out there grabbing the hands of members from the committee and mentioning the businesses in your district that he's worked with, I don't think I have much problem with this bill. Members, the unemployment numbers are climbing to an all-time high. I mean, we are fast approach. We're not at Michigan's numbers, but we are number two. Manufacturing jobs are a very vital part of the state of Minnesota. They entail they affect 800,000 jobs in this state, or approximately 30% of the jobs in the state. This bill helps target resources to small and medium-sized companies in the manufacturing sector and to streamline their process, helping them to weather the recession and retain their existing jobs. When Dr. Markison was here before the committee, she testified to how important it is to retain the jobs that we actually do have. This bill helps do that. The Growth Acceleration Program was launched, it's a long time agency. We turned it into we spun it off, I believe it was 2 years ago, and gave them $750,000. They affected, I'll just say the return on investment was $15 for every dollar we invested, and they helped 65 companies across the state. I don't want to get too deeply into the money, but we are asking for $3 million, which would four times the amount and hopefully affect 260 companies across the state. But this bill modifies the Growth Acceleration Program for smaller companies by modifying the match requirement. Small companies under 50 employees, it's a $1 of company money for $3 of state money. Medium companies, 50 to 100 employees, it's a dollar for dollar match. And for large companies, it's three company dollars for every dollar of state money. I will turn this over to Mr. Kill. We have three witnesses with us today and a number of other people that have come with him. So I will let him give his testimony.
Mr. Kill.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Representative Mahoney, thank you for the opportunity to tell our story. Enterprise Minnesota, some of you may have known it as Minnesota Technology up to a few years ago, works with small, medium-sized manufacturers to help them achieve operational excellence, compete on a global marketplace, and hopefully grow, and most importantly, in this tough economy, to retain and in some cases even add jobs. We're a fee-based organization. They pay us fees for our services. We have a number of specialists located around the state. We're really the only statewide organization that works specifically with manufacturers to make them more competitive. Based on the initial research, as Representative Mahoney said, the growth acceleration program of 2 years ago generated about a 15-to-1 return. Now, everybody comes in front of committees and talks about all the great return that they provide. We're somewhat unique in that through a federal program, we're one of 59 affiliates of a Department of Commerce program called Manufacturing Extension Partnership. And we actually do an independent survey of all the clients we work with. So we actually do have numbers. And in the past 4 quarters, we have the CEOs of the companies we've worked with have told us through this independent survey that we've retained or created over 1,200 jobs. So let me talk a little bit about the results, because this money is used as a one-for-one match, so they can get $2 of our services for $1 of cash out of their pocket. So it's not a program that's a free. It is very much of a, they participate in paying for the program. That $750,000 of 2 years ago could have helped if it had been a little bit more, probably more like 100 companies. But the money was committed and spent at about 65 companies, ranging all the way from International Falls to Albert Lea, which I think is just about into Iowa, and we're not allowed to go to Iowa. So let me go back to the results, because I think that's extremely important. 6 months after a company pays for and implements one of our services, whether it's lean manufacturing, so that they compete better against a global enemy, like someone, a manufacturer maybe in China, or whether it's trying to use our services to try to figure out how to implement new products, because small manufacturers oftentimes are a single product company. They commit to get that service. They commit that 6 months later they will do an independent survey. And the independent survey, though it's created by the federal government, so therefore it's not really straightforward, basically measures 4 things. Jobs retained, jobs created, top line growth, and bottom line improvement. All of those things vital to what we're talking about today in this challenging economy. There are no other programs I'm aware of that do this kind of measurement, and we do it on a national basis because we're one of 59 affiliates across the nation. More important, the services that we can bring as part of this affiliation to the small manufacturer are services that typically would not be available to a small company. Because of these 59 affiliates and our connection to this organization within the Department of Commerce, we are able to get services that would typically be available to very large companies and modify them so small companies can take advantage of them, often in the areas of marketing and business growth. I'm pleased to say that 24 legislatures over the past few months visited 18 of these clients. And there's nothing more powerful than walking the front door of a company in the center and having the CEO say, we would have had to lay off people if we wouldn't have done these investments, create a new website. This is the power of the program. And equally as important, the money's not going to us and we're taking our 25% or 30%. The money passes through us from the Department of Employment and Economic Development upon completion of the service. And so, therefore, goes directly to help this client pay for and take advantage of the services. I have with me today three CEOs that have taken advantage of our services, and I'm not sure which order they'll come forward, but Chuck Rao from RIE Coatings, from Eden Valley, Brandon Anderson from Von Ruden in Buffalo, and Todd Perkins from Pure Pleasure in Mankato, and I stress it's P-I-E-R, one of our many people engaged in the recreation and take advantage of our 11,200 lakes in the state. And lastly, before I turn it over to whoever wants to speak first, I do want to remind you that Enterprise Minnesota, formerly Minnesota Technology, is a nonprofit, 503C. So the fees that we charge for-profit consulting organizations wouldn't be happy with the return on the investment that we're quite pleased to do, because we have a great passion for small, medium-sized manufacturing in the state of Minnesota.
Who's going first?
Mr. Kill, before you go, we had a couple questions, I think. Representative Patton.
Mr. Chair, and Mr. Kill, please accept my apology for not understanding more about Enterprise Minnesota. I guess what I'm wondering is, what businesses qualify under this program? Do any small manufacturing businesses, would they have, under this bill, could they apply for assistance, or is there a limitation?
Yes.
And if there's limitations, I'm assuming that you're going to have to make choices, because there's not going to be enough money to get everybody assistance. So how will you make the decision as to which companies would get the assistance?
Mr. Kill.
Representative, thank you for the question. It's a great question. It's actually more than one question, so I'll try to start with the qualification. The previous bill, you had to be 100 employees or less and could not have used our services in the previous 2 years. Therefore, it limited the number of good companies from taking advantage of it. The proposal we have today is the three-tier, because one of the frustrations was that companies under 50 employees took longer to make the decision. A dollar, when they spend a dollar, it's a more critical dollar than a larger company. So our proposal is a three-for-one match for under 50 employee companies, a one-for-one match, 50 to 100 employees, and a one-for-three match for the 100 to 250 employees. Each level making it more less aggressive in the help we provide them. Now, the second question was, how do we decide? It's not a random decision. We have 22 specialists. Many of them come from manufacturing themselves, who work with these clients. So they take them through a discovery, an assessment, and a plan. And at the end of that plan, the CEOs that are sitting around right here would sign off on this plan, and it typically would be an 18-month to 24-month plan that said, these are the four or five services. Might be one service, could be four or five services, and there's also a maximum of $25,000 of state funding that they could receive. So very well outlined, very good process, and in fact, a pretty scientific process of someone that could or could not receive it. And unfortunately, there were people turned down who were not willing to commit to this plan, because what we're really trying to measure here is business results at the end, which is going to retain and create jobs for us. And when our people show this chart, it goes right down from discovery, assessment, plan, services, business results. These CEOs sitting beside me are not interested in doing this because there's a little bit of money hanging around. They're interested in doing it because it's going to make their business better, and that's the business results.
Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you. That's very helpful. So then, could any manufacturing company of under that hires 250 or under that qualifies under the
It qualifies them to
apply
discovery phase. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kill, you mentioned 65 companies, I think, in the last go-around. The results of those 65 companies in using your services as far as the money that was given out?
Because so many of them are either still in the finishing their services.
Hmm.
The services start at a minimum of 6 months after completion of our service. And so I think about 16 of the companies have actually gone through. And the results from the growth acceleration companies actually have been at the top tier of our overall survey. The last quarter, 52 companies around the state finished the survey, and the growth acceleration companies that participated were actually in the upper tier generally, which really said that these companies needed the services, really needed the services, and took good advantage of them. In fact, I believe that one or two of those witnesses today did participate in that survey.
Representative Anson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Keel, if you could just give us, as a committee or individuals, just a thumbnail sketch of a, you know, 16 are done, 52 are still in process, just a kind of a thumbnail of where they are in their progress for future. Love to see that. Thank you.
Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kilt, I don't have a kind of a sense of Enterprise Minnesota as an enterprise. How much of is all of your money from coming from the state, or as a nonprofit, are you receiving money from other sources? How does this? How does our appropriation factor into your budget, I guess, as a whole?
Mr. Kilt.
Thank you, Representative Winkler. We get no money from the state for operating expenses. We're a fee-based organization. About 22% of our direct fees that we generate, or expenses used in generating those, are possible to be reimbursed from the federal government. So last year, we had about $2.5 million of fees generated by clients, and an amount less than that that got back from the reimbursed by the federal government as being a part of this affiliation and participating with the group. So this money is designed to help the client to invest in their business. It doesn't go to our operating expense.
Representative Winkler.
So, and Mr. Chair, so just to kind of understand the concept, essentially you're providing consulting services to the businesses who might not otherwise be able to go out and hire McKinsey or you know some other marketing consulting group. Basically, you're a nonprofit that has the consultants on staff, and you essentially provide them at a reduced rate because of the appropriation from the state to help with the pass-through grant. Is that kind of the gist of,
Mr. Kill,
what it is? From in business terms more than government terms, I guess is what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Representative Winkler, thank you. When we put our budget together, we budget based on the fees that we'll be generating with or without a program like this. It certainly is a positive effect to us because there are companies that will not invest without some kind of a match. But I think the key is the further you get from the metropolitan area, and we say every hour you drive from the metropolitan area, the smaller the chance that the firms will have the opportunity for any other kind of investment. You know, most consultants, really, their cars don't go outside of Hennepin and Ramsey County.
Because they don't charge mileage.
They have a governor on it somehow or another. And, you know, in Hennepin and Ramsey County are just slightly under 50% of the manufacturers in the state. So when we travel throughout the state, we're very well known in greater Minnesota because we are the organization that does the consulting and works with them.
Representative.
So, Mr. Chair, because you're a nonprofit, you're able to provide these services, and it's part of your mission outside of the core metropolitan area, and that's so the state grant through DEED essentially allows you to accelerate or expand the reach of your services beyond what you would do as a standalone.
Absolutely, it absolutely helps in that area. Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you, Representative and Mr. Kill. Mr. Rao, would you like to start off? If you could just state your name for the record before you give your testimony.
Will do. My name is Chuck Rao. I'm the president of RAE Coatings in Eden Valley, Minnesota. Actually, I'm here to speak to this program for a couple of reasons. Number one, because of the direct impact that this program has had on my company and our ability to grow and improve our operation. But secondly, and frankly, as importantly, I feel strongly that this type of program is a core solution to the economic bind that we are in. Small companies have ability to grow yet, and small companies growing will create jobs, in my opinion, faster than anything else that I see on the board. And so I feel very strongly that that the job creation here is one of the key drivers to the recovery that we all want to see happen. So that's why I'm here. Now, about my company. RIE Coatings is a small business, metal finishing business, specifically thin film applications, which no one wants to know about. We currently have 51 employees on staff, which I just learned puts me into a less attractive bracket in the program.
we'll grandfather you in.
But we got to that 51 number because our workforce did grow 10% in the last quarter of last year. Our company sells about $4 million a year last year, and that was an 18% growth over the previous year. Our budget for 2009 is pointed to 25% growth. Now, that number is currently at risk because our core business, obviously, is finally getting impacted by the economy, but we have legitimate and significant growth opportunities ahead of us that are going to drive us to growth this year. The next quarter, as we've all talked about, is going to be very, very challenging, but we do have growth opportunity. So we, in essence, we're a small business. We are looking to grow. We have opportunity to grow. Now, you're going to hear over and over again from the three of us. In a small business, everyone says it, but until you run it, you don't feel it. Cash is king. We have to be very careful in a small business with any cash that we have. Because of that, we have to invest wisely in anything that we do. And the engagements with Enterprise Minnesota are indeed investments that we are making in our businesses. No question about it. The GAP program, the Growth Acceleration Program, helped us in that investment process in two ways. Number one, the dollar assistance that we get through the grant obviously takes a lot of the risk off the table. It looks like better return for our dollars automatically. Secondly, being able to rely on the resources, the organization can bring quality, credible resources to bear. Those combination of things gave us, RIE Coatings, the leverage to make these decisions to invest in our company this last year. Okay, what are the engagements? Well, we've done four things and are in the process of still wrapping up three of those. Number one, and most significantly, lean, synchronous flow, production flow. The program that we entered into, we applied the principles that we learned, the impact from that program. We were able to reduce our lead times in our company from 6 to 8 weeks down to one week. And right now, with this economy, we're inside of 1 week turnaround. 75% increase in productivity and capacity directly attributed to the changes we made working through this program. What this enabled us to do is reestablish our market credibility. This company was in trouble, and we've reestablished our position in the marketplace, our ability to perform, our turnaround, our profit picture. And because of all that, we've been able to solidify our company and at the same time solidify our employee base and actually grow our employee base. Another engagement, ISO certification, becoming table stakes for a lot of business. We had our pre-certification audit yesterday. We're looking good that we will be certified by April. This is going to open brand new markets to us, particularly in the area of military and wind generation areas where. So this is going to have a profound impact on our ability to move into new market segments. Thirdly, a unique selling proposition marketing strategy, an engagement that we took on. It helped us strengthen our value proposition that we take out to the marketplace, organize and direct our sales efforts. The results have been significant. We've been able to find new customers by some of the strategies we implemented. We've been able to penetrate deeper into existing customer bases. And last and certainly not least, and we're just in the process of this right now, a website strategy. Looking at the structure, the strategy behind web interaction with customer base in the new marketplace. We're in the process right now of creating our strategy, redesigning and redeveloping our website to drive more traffic to our website and ultimately more business through our website. So each of these activities have had or will have profound impact on RIE's ability to succeed. And I can look each and every one in the eye, and those of you that know me know that, number one, I'm a very conservative person, and number two, I do not have a great faith in the typical consultant engagement. They scare me. These investments that we've made in our organization, we would not have made yet without having the ability to engage into the GAP program through Enterprise Minnesota. So finally, the ultimate question, do I see value in the engagement? Well, when we look at customer satisfaction, the most the key indicator of customer satisfaction is would you be recommended to another customer? And to that end, I can tell each and every one of you that that I have and continue to recommend Enterprise Minnesota, Gap Engagement to any company that I deal with that where I see any opportunity for engagement. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ralph. Mr. Anderson, do you want to go next? And then let's get through the three testifiers, and we'll have time for some questions afterwards. So, Mr. Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brandon Anderson. I'm Vice President of On Route Manufacturing, and we're located in Buffalo and proud to operate out of Wright County. Wright County begins with a W, so we're good already. I'm here today to express my strong support for the Growth Acceleration Program. Companies like mine throughout this great state represent the critical core that guides our state sector. In these challenging times, it's us small and medium-sized manufacturing that will retain jobs longer, but also be the most reactive to reinstate these new jobs when things return. We've been around for over 60 years. We've grown, we've evolved, and we're proud to say that we succeeded as remaining a small, family-owned manufacturer that still has its roots inside of Minnesota. We design rotary components that are used in mobile markets such as construction equipment, commercial agricultural equipment, conveying systems in industrial plants, and the machine tool industry. We survive on our ability to design the product, produce it, but also provide the highest level of service and support. As a supplier to these markets, Von Rudin is one of only a handful that completes its entire processes entirely in the United States. Of our competitors and ourselves, we are the only one that resides in Minnesota. We employ engineers, salespeople, machinists, and other trade and clerical positions. 90% of our employees are within a half-hour drive of our facility in Buffalo, and over half of them, I've worked with them daily for 15 years. We're important to Minnesota, we're important to Wright County, and even more so, important to the city of Buffalo. We were the first private business in Buffalo. We contribute to education apprenticeship programs. We contribute to technology, to libraries, and also donations to the safety departments of our community. We also contribute to the state, providing consistent reinvestment back into the company, for which the employees can have reliability and the community can survive, which we live and work in. Our sales range between 5 and 9 million, and our staffing ranges between 40 and 75, all dependent on current market conditions and projects at hand. Currently, with today's economic times, we're operating at the low end of both of those categories. However, just like Chuck and other manufacturers, we have opportunities in front of us to not only sustain where we're at, but to grow during these economic times for the coming year. We have the resources available, we have experience, we have technology, we have labor, and most importantly, we have the desire. However, access to funding to support these growth opportunities is essential. The downturn in the financial sector is directly related to craft in the Minnesota manufacturing companies. There's less resources to receive from, there's tighter covenants, and the lengthier approval processes do not help manufacturing companies react. The Growth Acceleration Program is such a resource that can provide the spark that's needed. The influx of money can solve a short-term dilemma, but the key to the GAP program with Enterprise Minnesota is that the investment is tied with responsibility, so that will provide a long-term solution. Manufacturing in this great state does have opportunities and to be reached during these difficult times, and we represent just one of those. The Growth Acceleration Bill will provide access to funding to keep these going. Stable and growing businesses need stable and growing businesses spend. Enterprise Minnesota and their experienced staff is in place to facilitate this program and funded projects to ensure the security of return on that investment. A company with immediate need, a company with a market opportunity, and a company with investment goals. Mr. Harry Larson of Enterprise Minnesota recognized those points in Von Rudin. That was a very specific conversation we had about Enterprise Minnesota working an acceleration program that the investment given will have a return on that dollar spent. We have implemented three programs currently, and we're looking to add an additional fourth program here this coming spring. We have opportunity, and the doors are open for us to make that return on the investment. For us as a manufacturer, we have the luxury of a new market potential for 2009 that we've been working in previous years. Our new market potential opens the door to a $60 million market in the United States alone. We have already staged ourselves for completion of this. Product development is completed, inventory is already produced and in place, and relationships to sell and distribute are well on their way. We're the only supplier for this market in the United States, and we're the only supplier with the expertise that we currently have. However, to complete that and complete the return on that, we also need to be compliance with ISO. Our larger international competitors are all ISO compliant. Our larger international competitors are also have greater product depth, so we must represent our products in a larger manner by updating our literature, catalog, and website also. In a down market, financial strength is stretched and stressed. Funding to complete such projects with outside companies is a great challenge. The funding of the Growth Acceleration Program and commitment from Enterprise Minnesota is what's needed to complete these goals and to stabilize growth. I remember talking to Enterprise Minnesota about ensuring the investment that would be made would be secure and achievable. Enterprise Minnesota is committed to ensuring this program achieves its full potential. I come before this committee to let you know, with all honesty, we expect to provide a return well beyond the 15-to-1 which I've seen in past programs. We are experienced and planning to see a 40-to-1 dollar investment return on this. And if any luck from the market turning, we expect that number to go to high as $65 for every dollar spent. I'm not here to tell the committee that our company or our employees are worthy or more worthy than another company in terms of support and resources. But as a participating member of the Growth Acceleration Program, I'm here to convey that the returns are real. I am here to tell this committee that the return on investment for such a program is what we Minnesota manufacturers need. And I'm here to tell the committee that we represent only one of many with such opportunities and commitment to succeed in this coming year. On behalf of the employees of Von Ruden and all the residents of Buffalo and Wright County, and along with the other manufacturers who are not here to represent, I thank you for consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Perkins.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, those are two tough acts to follow. I feel they're much more prepared than I am. But my name is Todd Perkins, and I'm the owner and CEO of Pier Pleasure Incorporated. That's P-I-E-R Pleasure, located in Mankato. I think the main reason I'm here today is maybe to talk a little bit about my relationship with Enterprise Minnesota and why I support this bill that's in front of us now. I think that I could probably recite what these two gentlemen before me did. I will tell you a little bit about my company now, but in the long run, what I really want to accomplish is to kind of tell you when I think of Enterprise Minnesota and this project, how it would affect manufacturers like myself. Pier Pleasure is a manufacturer of aluminum boat docks, lifts, and accessories. We're located in Mankato. We've been in the community in Mankato since 1977. We currently employ 14 full-time people. Most of our employees have been with Pier Pleasure for many, many years. Our facility is 45,000 square feet, 28,000 is dedicated to manufacturing, just to give you some kind of an idea of size. Our products are distributed through a dealer network throughout Minnesota and the Midwest, some in Canada. When I think of the community, I think of the value that we bring is that Pier Pleasure employs people from Mankato and the surrounding area. We do business with other local Mankato businesses. We pay over $45,000 a year in real estate taxes to the city of Mankato and Blue Ridge County annually. We support many local charities and organizations within the community. 85% of Pier Pleasure suppliers are in Minnesota. Let's see here. Currently, the status of our company is that we have experienced 10 to 15% growth for many, many years. We've expanded many, many times. Currently, we are at 32 hours a week. We've shut down for 1 week. Our employees are understanding of this in these times. It's nothing new. I'm not here to tell you anything that you don't already know. I just want to tell you the status of our company. We are extremely optimistic of having a very strong spring. As you know, we are a seasonal, well, you may not know, we are a seasonal company. We build throughout the winter, we stock the shelves, and we always cross our fingers and hope for a good spring.
Currently, we're very optimistic that things are looking good to have a good spring. But time will tell. Let's see here. So maybe talk a little bit about this bill that's before us today. Maybe just to simplify it would be that there are many, many manufacturers in my community, along with myself, that have laid off people. They're looking ahead. They're doing their planning. Many of these people are very smart. They have good plans in place. A lot of these companies lack the confidence to move off the sidelines and put these plans into action. When I look at this gap bill, where I see it working is that companies that are in a marginal time right now would act. One thing I think is really nice is that the company would have to be vested. So they're paying something into the plan as well. I think that where it really has an impact is that because it's endorsed or looked after by Enterprise Minnesota, it's going to be a very solid plan moving forward because it's endorsed by them. They would not let the funds be spent on something that's frivolous. I know that at times like these, we all have really good plans, as I said. I think that this is what we need right now. It's a shot in the arm. I'm not just speaking for myself, but for many manufacturers that I've communicated with in my community, I think it makes a lot of sense. Currently, what we know we need to do at this time is we need to increase our revenue. We need to increase our top line. What we would do if these funds were available to us is we would work with Enterprise in Minnesota to work on strategic planning. We would expand our dealer base. We would move our products into new market areas. We would work hard to gain more exposure of our products to grow our top line. The other thing that we would do is we would move off the sidelines with a few products that are in R&D right now, but are on hold. What we really need to do right now, because we are, you know, strictly a business that provides goods to the marine industry, is we need to diversify our revenue stream. For our company, that is where we would make the investment, is into strategic planning for a better future.
Okay, Mr. Pearson, we do have a couple of questions. Mr. Perkins, I didn't want to cut you off.
That's okay. I just had one last thing.
Oh, please, go ahead.
And this is kind of a recap of what I said, I guess. Most manufacturers, large or small, have ideas and plans on how to make their companies stronger in these uncertain times. They either lack the funds they need to move forward on these plans, or they lack the confidence to do so. Sometimes both are the case. Enterprise Minnesota can help companies change their ideas into a solid plan. Please keep in mind, these are my words. I've worked with Enterprise Minnesota for many years, and I found them to be extremely helpful and very vital to our operation. Enterprise Minnesota can give companies the confidence and the energy they need to make good things happen. They have for me. The Growth Assistance Program will allow manufacturers to implement a solid plan to make their company stronger in these uncertain times and into the future. Solid companies weather rough times and sustain or expand their workforce. I feel this is what we need now. The Gap Assistance Program is good for Minnesota's manufacturers, the employees that make those companies what they are, and the communities in which we all live. I thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. We have to do some questions from the members. Representative Gottwald, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, just a few comments. I want to thank the group for coming here today. I think it's we're almost halfway through the session. It's great to have small business people sitting here in front of us telling us what they need to grow jobs, because as much as we talk a lot here at the legislature about people in need, when I talk to people in need, they tell me they need jobs. It's got to be job one for us, and I know that's what our committee's about. I thank Representative Mahoney for bringing the bill forward. and I think it's just so important to listen to these stories and understand how vital it is. These small businesses that these gentlemen represent today represent 80% of the job growth that we see nationwide and here in Minnesota. So when we talk about turning around revenues for our state, meeting needs, growing jobs, these are the folks who are doing it. And programs like this are helping them add jobs. So this sort of thing ought to be right at the top of our priority list. It's an exceptional use of the dollars. And as we heard in testimony, returning many times the investment in new jobs and retaining jobs is just as important at this point in time. People who don't end up needing additional services because they have a job and an ability to pay for those things themselves. So I want to thank you for your testimony and your service with this effort, with the GAP grants, and just strongly endorse this bill. I hope we do more of this.
Thank you, Representative Gottwald. Representative Beard.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, I'm feeling quite conflicted about this bill that's in front of us today, and obviously my lead and I did not discuss this ahead of time, but I think it's important that somebody has the nerve to be the curmudgeon on the block, and since I've done that before, let me just throw out a few random thoughts here on my concerns that I have and tell you why I'm having some angst over being able to support the initiative. Two words come to mind, and it's corporate welfare, and I'll come back to that in a moment. Because we hear those words thrown around, I think, most of the time quite irresponsibly, mostly in the heat of political battle. And this is one reason I'm having such discomfort even talking about it, because I'm not that, don't have politically sharp elbows. Usually I just like to have good debate and have people take shots at my ideas or just kind of ruminate on things. But perhaps a clarifying question for Mr. Kill would be in order. Mr. Kill, we're looking at money from the general fund. That would be taxpayer money coming to your organization. And then you're going to somehow get some of that into the treasuries of private businesses here. Is that an equity stake? Is it a debt position? Or is it an outright grant? Can you clarify that for us,
Mr. Kill?
Well, the way the plan worked previously, and I would anticipate in the future, is it's a matching grant for the money that they put into it. An example I would use is a firm that you drive by, probably back to your district on an often basis, Jordan Transformer, which is just off Highway 169, who just did complete the survey, and that minimal amount of money they got, I think about $26,000, leading to $52,000 of our services. They gave a phenomenal return on relaying out their entire plant, etc. So the money passed from the state to us when they had paid the bill and completed the service. So that there's a real commitment on the. So I hate to use the word grant, but it is a grant. It's a matching grant. But it's after the fact that they've completed the service, paid the entire fees, then they get that 50% reimbursed.
In the qualifications, it matters not whether it's proprietorship, S-Corp, C-Corp, LLC, or anything like that.
Does not matter. The qualification is the number of employees.
Representative Beard.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted that just for clarification. Not that it really, I think it does have some impact on how we think about where the money comes from and where it's flowing. And I'll tell you what my concern is. When we're having debate on the floor about corporate welfare and that purgatorial, it's always used in the purgatorial sense, oh, by the way, usually it has to do with taxes, tax policy. And usually it chaps my hide when I hear it, because usually it's used as an assault on someone who's worked hard, made a profit, it's their property, their money, And because we allow them to keep some of it via a deduction or a credit for some behavior, hiring hard of hearing people or investing in a rural part of the state, whatever our policy is, we allow them to keep it. Oftentimes they're assaulted with the term being greedy corporate welfare types. I would beg to differ, and I would submit to you that something like this program probably would be more accurately described with that purgatorial phrase than, say, a tax deduction or a tax credit, where we're actually taking money from one group of taxpayers and giving it to another. And my problem is knowing where to draw the line, because we do this all the time around here, folks. And that's just a caution I want to throw out to the committee as we think about another good program with three outstanding business people. I've been there. I've
one labor smoke.
I didn't say that.
And taxpayer he is also.
And the taxpayer he is, yes. I've run to the bank quickly with my truck and begged the banker to refinance it so I could make payroll. Cash is king when you're a little guy. It sure, when you're a big guy, cash is just king. It's the rule of the universe. Been there, done that, and we'll be there again shortly. I'm just choking on the underlying policy here, and this is a policy committee, Mr. Chair. I would like to ask for some assurances that when we do debate these great matters on the floor, that if I hear those words corporate welfare, I may leap to my feet and point my finger at some of you and say, neener, neener, or which type of, what are we talking about? We're talking about welfare. But again, I'm just choking on this.
I got a thick skin. You can point to me anytime you want.
And still be on your Christmas card list. There you go. Yeah, I guess I just felt compelled just to share the thoughts that I love these guys. I love rural Minnesota. I love incentivizing small business. But folks, we're going to take money from some group of people and give it to another group, especially in a time when we're constrained with a down economy. And my heart's with you, but my head's saying, whoa, pony, let's slow this down and think about it.
Thank you, Representative Beard. Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to follow up on Representative Beard's comment. I keep my phone with me at all times for days like today when I'm seeing that some of our investors are signing documents that they need to sign so that they can put cash into our company's bank account and make payroll this weekend. So not only has it been a past concern, it's a concern for me today.
Sure.
So I understand the situation at a small company. My question, my focus is a little bit different. I think that the test is whether or not the government, by taking this action, is able to correct some problem in the marketplace, because markets aren't perfect all the time. And so the point here is that if small companies in greater Minnesota or elsewhere are not well serviced by consultants to help improve process, help improve information flow, etc., they're not able to fully optimize their market position. And I think that the proper place here is that some government funds can be used to put into the market to actually create a net increase in total economic activity. We had testimony from Ann Markison, as the chair referred to, and specifically she identified these types of extension programs as being ones that are, the data shows, are successful in actually helping in a time of economic recession, as opposed to a number of other programs that may or may not be as successful. On the issue of corporate welfare, she talked about tax credits. And I think she emphasized the fact that a tax credit should be temporary and should be tied to some outcome, as opposed to a credit that's put into place in statute that lasts forever, just which I think would tend to be defined more as a welfare program if you're going to be pejorative in that way. I think that would be the test, where it's not creating some other economic good. So I think that's the test. The sounds of it, Enterprise Minnesota is delivering on that, and it seems to fit with research, at least, that economists are doing in this area. But my question is, why does Enterprise Minnesota just do manufacturing? Or are there other programs out there that can do more in other fields? The company I work for is a software company. We don't manufacture anything. And yet the need for, and we're in Minneapolis, Hennepin County, and it's very expensive to hire a management consultant to identify the size of the market that you're in, the potential markets that are out there for the services that you provide, and ways of improving your operations. I think that's a tremendous value to a company, just as you've described. But it's not just manufacturing companies outside of Hennepin and Ramsey counties that could use it. And I guess the question is, are there other entities out there that are doing this? Should there be? Can you meaningfully expand the scope of services beyond manufacturing? Because there's a certain expertise that you have to bring to the table to be valuable. And then is scaling this up something that is going to work? Is this actually something that we can put more money into and it will deliver bigger results?
Members, we just have about 3 minutes left, so if we could get a quick answer to that one. We have a couple more questions as well.
Thank you, Representative Winkler. Many of the processes that we do fit any industry. The buzzword today is, I guess it's more than one word, lean healthcare. Manufacturers, small manufacturers, led the way on creating lean processes so that they create greater throughput, throughput through efficiency and growth of the company. It applies to engineering companies. It applies to software companies. I'll be happy to give you my card as we leave. But it does apply across it. But our charter is manufacturing, and 80% of what we do is in manufacturing. We also are a small organization that needs to manage our caches in the past and as we go forward. But many of the processes apply to many kinds of industries. In fact, we've worked with a number of the departments right here in the state of Minnesota.
Representative Brian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to take a minute here, but I don't want to necessarily subject our guests and testifiers to what might be some political difference of perspective, but I think the term corporate welfare probably only has the political power it has because of what I would consider an abuse of the term welfare in general. And I think a term that's actually about well-being has come to be identified in a quite negative way as about big government and caring for citizens in a way that maybe make them more overly dependent on government than they ought to be. But I would suggest that whichever side of the welfare, either corporate welfare or citizen welfare discussion you're on, that we as servants of government are about the well-being of our citizens and making them more independent and able to contribute as citizens. So I would hope we would keep a bit more high-minded element as we use this language.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Mahoney.
If I could have some closing remarks and hopefully get the committee to vote on this particular issue.
All right. Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I've been a supporter of this particular organization or an organization, it's for organization, for 10 years. I've always believed that multiple small companies in multiple different areas of the state is a stronger way for our state to grow than having one large company in a small town. That's why I've always supported this particular program. I'll continue to support it in the future. I would ask for your support for this bill to be voted on and moved to higher ed policy. And if you believe in this kind of a concept, talk to Representative Rukavina and so we can get it into his bill. And with that, I'll make a renew my motion to pass with recommendation to pass to higher ed and workforce policy.
All right, thank you, Representative Mahoney. Representative Mahoney renews his motion to move House File 1081 to be recommended to pass and return to higher education and workforce development policy and finance division. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, next meeting is Tuesday, March 17th, and so with that, we're adjourned.